everybody. Welcome back to another episode of the Bowhunter Chronicles podcast brought to you by Huntworth. Huntworth bringing you quality hunting clothing and packs at a price you deserve. Check them out at huntworthgear.com. All right, we got John back on the podcast for this one. Just kind of outlining our turkey seasons and the Total Archery Challenge prep, kind of where we're at with that this year. Been doing a little bit more shooting, getting my brother-in-law Chris set up. Hopefully Frank's going to be able to shoot long distances this year and kind of complete the whole thing. So heading to the range with him tomorrow to set up his new site. But my turkey season, as if you follow us on Instagram, I got a hell of a story because I'm an idiot. And all I can say is the world's worst bow hunter has struck again. And you guys are going to enjoy this one. But it goes into, some questions that I have about bow hunting turkeys and kind of how we feel. So I'd like to get your guys' opinion on that. So if you see this post on Instagram, leave a note on there and let me know what you think, A, of the story, but then B, like I said, I pose a question in here where I'm kind of at a crossroads, I feel like. But anyways, this podcast, you guys are this is one of those kind of like BS podcasts where it's just me and John hanging out, talking about our seasons and all that, but it's fun. A couple housekeeping things. I'm on the board now for the Muskegon Bowman's Club, and June 3rd, there's going to be a 3D shoot and swap meet out there. So you can go there. I think it's like $10. There's going to be food. There's going to be novelty shoot. If you're a member and you bring a non-member, it's going to be half off for both of you, or your buddy gets in free. Just trying to get some more people out there to kind of get through the club to see that. And then June 5th starts our Broadhead League. And what's interesting about that is like what's like the only Broadhead League, I think, in the state. Apparently it's very challenging. I'm going to try and make it out there. And you don't have to be in the league to participate. So you can go out there, you can pay the whole league fee for the whole year. Or if you can only go 1 month or 1 week out of the month or something like that, it's $5. So you get to shoot, hang out, see the club, $5. That starts June 5th. So just a couple of things there. This podcast, we also talk about Total Archery Challenge, and that's going to be an opportunity to see a bunch of stuff. Bunch of our sponsors are going to be up there. Latitude's going to be up there. The Zinger guys are always up there. They're going to have their arrows and all that stuff. Genesis 3D is going to be up there. And if you saw their saddle spanner, I'm not sure what he's calling it. I've got one actually in my hand right now. I saw this a couple weeks ago. Super cool product. I was a little skeptical at first when I was like, oh, you don't really need it. It's one of those things where, oh, people are just being sissies. It's going to be something that's going to be in the way. But I bet you I was in the saddle for probably close to a half hour talking with Austin, messing around with it, vetting it, and what a cool product. And the way that I look at stuff like that is once I'm sitting in the saddle, and whatever saddle it is, if I don't notice that I'm in the saddle anymore, and I'm just comfortable, I'm not having to adjust any of that, then that's kind of like a marker of success. And with that device, really, really fit the bill. And for those long all-day sits and stuff like that, it really doesn't matter what saddle you're in. You're going to do some adjusting, and anything that can decrease that amount of movement, I think is going to be good for everybody. And it doesn't weigh anything. It's not obtrusive. So really super cool. He's got another product coming out that I'm pretty excited about here soon. And once he starts showing that one off, I'll kind of give my opinions on that. But I've got another one in hand that's super cool that I'm really excited about. Nothing too groundbreaking, but it just solves a problem for me specifically. So I'm excited about that. But we're super happy to have these sponsors come on that take our opinions, that run with the ideas that we have, that value our opinions, and that they give back to our Patreon. So, you know, Patreon is crowdfunding for creators. It allows us to do stuff like the cookout that we're going to do up at the Total Archery Challenge that we've always been doing the last, you know, 4 years or so. And, you know, go to these shows, go meet people, go to these shoots, all that sort of stuff. But then also, you know, give back to the people that directly support us. And, you know, like Huntworth, they give away one of their suits every quarter. Zinger and Kanati give away a set of arrows. You know, Vitalized Seed, Lucky Buck. I just got like 20 buckets of Lucky Buck showed up at my house for the UP. Vitalized Seed's already starting to pop up out of the ground up in the UP. And then my cousin's got some over in Wisconsin. Looking really good. Excited about that. Just dropped off some to Mark for our food plots around here. Really looking forward to that. Just to see how that's going to work out for us. But they give away some of that. You know, Lucky Buck, you know, Big Shot Targets gives away a target. And as we're getting ready for Total Archery Challenge, I talk about that, about what I've been doing to kind of work through my release. My shot process has been super helpful. But, you know, all these companies give back, and we're coming up on the end of the second quarter here. So we're going to be giving away, we'll announce that right around Total Archery Challenge time. So if you're not a Patreon, you want to get in on some of those giveaways, you want to support the show, you want to come up and see us at Total Archery Challenge. We got our Patreon hunt coming up, and then we've got our spring bear hunt in the works for next year. All this stuff, super cool. Just a great community that we're building. But, you know, that's really what we do this for, is for the community. We'd be hunting, we'd be talking about gear, we'd be doing all this stuff anyways. It's just so great that, you know, we can share this stuff with you guys, and we got companies that support us in doing so. So anyways, hope to see you at the Total Archery Challenge. You got like 2 or 3 weeks until we're ready. So get those bows out, start shooting. If you haven't been, set your tapes, get your process set, and we'll see you next time. You guys are gonna love this story. I'm such an idiot. Thanks for listening. All right, everybody. Adam and John back with another episode of the Bow Hunter Chronicles podcast.
Who's John?
Yeah, who's John? Who's this guy? So, John, what's new? What's the status on the house? What's been taking up your time?
Just house. That's what takes up all my time. And the turkeys. The fuckers torment me every day.
So I left for a week. And we'll get into the turkey stuff here, because I got a hell of a story. But,
12 of them?
So I left for a week, and you're like, all right, well, Friday, Saturday, we're going to get the roof, like start working on the roof. And I came back, and there was one piece of sheeting on the roof, and now there's like four pieces of sheeting on the roof. I don't know where you.
I went back to work on other projects, and then I went up and helped Ed do his footings for his house. So I went up there Wednesday night. We did the footings Thursday. Then by the time we got done cleaning up and doing everything, the truck got pushed out. Like, he had to have a pumper truck, and the pumper's first job turned to shit, so he got there late to us. And then, anyway, it was like 5 o'clock. So I'm like, you know what? I'm just going to stay. What's the point? It's supposed to rain on Friday anyway. So I ended up staying night Thursday up there, and then came home Friday morning, which it rained. And then, so I spent the rest of the afternoon shop vacking.
Oh my God. So John shop vacking his house is hilarious, because he's got his earmuffs on. He's scooping up the water with a shop vac. You know, he's got the generators going. And Frank and I went over there after we hunted, and we'll get into that hunt here in a minute. But we're over there, and we're just watching him. We were watching him for 5 minutes. And, like, he's completely unaware that we're there. He's oblivious. And we're trying to figure out how to mess with him. So he unplugged the shop vac from the generator, and it it happened exactly like the way that we envisioned it. And I wish I would have videoed it, but you know, he looks down at the shop vac and he's like flipping the switch on. And then he looks up and his eyes got like as big as saucers. And he was like, whoa.
Yeah. You guys got me on that one. And normally I don't like get startled, but I was like, I'm just in the zone. I'm like shop vacuuming, chewing, spitting on the floor, vacuuming it up. Like, hey, it's already wet. What, you know, freaking all of a sudden it turns off. I'm like, what the fuck's going on? And then I turn around and look, and and it's like 15 feet. And here's these two ugly bastards like staring at me. I'm like, Jesus Christ. So.
Oh, it's hilarious.
Yeah. About, you know, shit, man, about had to go to the Porta John. Just had some setbacks. Like, we set to all the trusses, you know, and then come to find out 7 of the trusses were bad. So then that we had to wait. It took them a week to get new trusses sent out or built. Then I had to bring a crane in, pull those trusses off. Then they almost all tipped over once we started unbracing them to pull the 7 bad ones out. Cause it wasn't like 7 in a row. There was like 1 bad one, 2 good ones, 5 bad, you know, it was. So needless to say that. And then I'm by myself. Like, so, and nothing with this house is easy. It's not just like a normal gable end roof. It's like shed style, single pitch roofs. And
in true John Boersma fashion,
everything is all, you know, angles, and it's just not easy. Like, so doing all the fascia boards and of course figuring all that out, straightening them out. But those are, they're pretty much 90% done. Like, and there is a row of sheeting on each side all the way. So now I've been doing all the prep work so that when I do get help or when I get started, it'll go quick. Like, we can get it sheeted in a day. And then, so yeah, that's where I'm at with the house. But we still have to, that's the thing. Wednesday, we're going to pick out roofing and siding, because can't pick out the roofing till we have the siding picked out. Like, well, the house is black. The roof's going to be black. Like, there's black shingles. Like, just go pick them out. They might want some brown in them. Oh, okay.
So you've got a serious turkey problem over there at the new place, though.
So yeah, the turkeys are assholes. Cause like, I mean, every morning I'd see them. Now that I've messed with them, they're kind of like, they'll still, well, I take that back. So what night was it? It was like Tuesday and Wednesday, or Monday and Tuesday last week. I'm out there and I'm working on the fascia board. I'm out by myself. Like, my little speaker's broke, so I don't have no music going. And I'm putting on my brackets to hold the fascia board. So, cause like, I screw a bracket down on one side and I can put the board up and that holds it while I'm truing it up. Every time I hit my impact, gobble. Like, well, take that back. Right before that, it was starting to get dark. It's like 8 o'clock, 7:30, 8 o'clock. I turned off the generators then because I was just using my airless stuff. I hear a turkey go to roost, like right in the pines, like right on the edge of the ditch, the creek there. So like 60, 70 yards back behind the house. So then every time I'd hit the freaking impact, he'd gobble at me. I'm like, you son of a bitch. I'm about ready to come out there and shoot you out of the roost. Maybe not, but. And so then the next night, my buddy Jason and then Jet was there. They stopped over like as I was basically packing up. Sure enough, same thing. Like, Jet hits the impact and the bird gobbles. Like, you just want to screw with me. But the first morning that I actually got to hunt, that's when Ann was coming with me to film. And I'm like, we got to be there like at least 7:30. they usually come through right around 8 o'clock. Well, she didn't get out of bed. We come rolling in and I'm like, I'm looking to the south, like where they come from. And all of a sudden she's like, oh my God. I'm like, as we're pulling up to the driveway, and I turn and look in the driveway, and there's two Toms strutting down the driveway right past the Port-a-John. Like, and they just went out behind the house in the back area there, and just we crawled to the tent, friggin' got in.
And there's gobbling. Did she enjoy that?
Oh yeah, she likes the turkey hunt. So yeah, they're ugly anyway. I don't mind if you shoot one of those.
Because that's pretty, I mean, that's exciting. I mean, there's birds and they're gobbling. And
oh, yeah. She likes that. She's, you know, when, was it last year or year before last when I first brought it, talked her into it. And that's when I bounced the one off the top of his head.
So, and you hunted there with Frank the one day.
Oh, yeah. Frank. So, yeah. So, there's like a batch of birds that goes through early, and then there's one that comes through later, like right around 10 o'clock is usually a second batch. So we got there, and of course, Frank got there before me because I ended up getting up late, but I got there at like 6:30, and he left his phone at home. So I'm like, text him, hey, 6:30. No, he didn't get it. He was waiting. But anyway, so we get out there, nothing. No birds. Finally, like, ah, let's just get to work. So we get up to the house and we're dinking around getting set up. And then I'm up working on the front of the house, the fascia up there. And he was sitting down on the front porch. And finally, I got down. And I'm like, man, what time is it? He's like, ah, it's almost 10. I'm like, this is God's honest truth. Like, I'm like, man, it's about time the second batch. Like, there should be birds coming through any minute. And I wasn't even a minute, maybe a minute. I turned around and I'm like, there's one right there in the road, like crossing the road, and it was a nice Tom. And it ended up being two Toms. He's like, let's get in the tent. So we snuck out back around the house, got out in the woods, got in the tent, and they're on the other side of the ditch. When I say ditch, it's just an old drainage ditch, creek, whatever you want to call it. And normally they don't cross that. And it's pretty big and deep. Well, they're on the west side of it. We're on the east side. He starts calling, and he gets out the old box call, and he hits that, and they just go nuts. And he's, like, messing with the slate call. I'm like, no, hit him with the box. Hit him with the box again. And so he's freaking cutting it up, and they're just going ape shit. And they end up coming across, but then, you know, like I said, I've been kind of messing with them, and I think the dogs – might have, you know, like chased them out one day. And they didn't quite want to come in. They stayed out like 50, 60 yards right out in front of us. So finally they kind of wandered off. But then in the meantime, we heard other birds coming across the road too, like over on that side of the property. Sure enough, here comes two more Toms. They come across the creek as well, but they just kept right on going like where those other ones went. And then, like, I don't know, not even a minute, here comes two more, and it was two Jakes. And they come right in to 26 yards. And one's standing there like a target, like perfectly between these two trees. And he's all broadside, just like perfectly still. But I had both my arrows, but I'm like, well, if I want to shoot a Jake, I want to shoot it with him in the head. Like, I really don't want to, you know, if it would have been a big, you know, 10 and a half inch beard, you know, full grown Tom, I would have tried to get my arrow, but they were pretty alert. Like if I would have been moving around, I might've, but that was the morning too, that Frank freaking crop dusted me, like about killed me. I didn't even have a face mask. I had to put my shirt. There's a picture on that you posted. That was my shirt. I'm like, oh my God, like we're all closed up in here. There's no breeze or nothing. He's back there dying laughing.
Have you ever been overwhelmed by the hundreds of food plot seed mixes out there? Well, you are not alone. And Vitalize Seed has developed a seed program that takes the guesswork out of food plotting. Vitalize Seed has two core mixes, the Nitro Boost and Carbon Load, to keep it simple. Nitro Boost is their spring-summer food plot mix, and Carbon Load is the fall plot mix, each having a diverse mix of over a dozen different seed types that are highly attractive to whitetail. Food plotting made simple, but it gets even better. Each mix provides necessary nutrients to the soil, making for better plots each season and saving you money by needing less Roundup and less fertilizer each season. The 1-2 system simplifies your food plots just how nature intended. Vitalize Seed, make biology work for you. Order now at vitalizeseed.com.
Whew, that was bad. But so yeah, so he called in six, you know, four Toms and two Jakes. The only thing I've called into the decoy is four hens. Like, they come right in. I could have shot all of them. No problem.
It's harder than it looks, but we'll get to that.
Yeah. Well, I could have tried to shoot him, but I think it would have been, you know, I mean, they were literally like, well, everyone who knows us, we put our decoys out about 5 to 7 steps, and I have video of the hens like right in with the decoys. I even called the one right back in, you know, I started purring at her and she just came right back, but I haven't had a Tom in close enough. So what happened with yours?
I couldn't hunt the first day.
Well, that in your season, so I have a private.
Yeah, you have private land, so private, it's the land. Entire season you can hunt, yeah, the whole time through. Mine started like May 6th, and I had to work on May 6th, and then John had a party at his house or had like a bonfire that day, and I was going to get up and hunt that next morning over at my buddy's where we've all killed birds. And my daughter and I had gone out and set up a blind over there. I'm trying to get her like involved with the turkey hunting from like what we were talking about with Ann, like just for the experience of going. So I didn't go in the morning cause she couldn't go. And then later on that week, I said, well, Frank, you know, I'll video you. Let's go. Cause last year we could have doubled up but he didn't have his bow. He didn't have his tag. He didn't have any of the stuff. So I was like, well, I'll video you down there. And the only way that I'm going to shoot is if we can double up. I'm not, you know, I really want Stella to go and right, like, have the experience. But at the same time, like, how many opportunities am I going to get to double up with right. my father-in-law, you know? So we sit there, and of course, we got in super late. My brother had already killed his turkey. The same day my brother killed his turkey, he sent me pictures of his dead turkey. And I think it was that same day. Or maybe he had missed one.
He missed one.
He missed one that day. And I'm like, we weren't even set up yet. Like, we were not. Like, we went cruising in there at like 6:20. And I got when we were over there, I put a camera up, and like that night that we were at John's house that Friday or Saturday, the here comes, you know, three turkeys and two long beards that went down there. So I'm like, oh man, it's a slam dunk. Like, Stella, we got to go. So we knew there was birds around there, but it's right on the river, and they changed a bunch of stuff with the river. And I don't know how that's affected the birds, but they're not using it the same way. And I've already had a bobcat and a coyote on there. So that probably doesn't,
you know.
So we were down there, and Frank did some calling, and we heard some gobbles like way off, and we couldn't tell really where they were. We sat there, we were messing around, and it was like 8:30. That's the day that we went and scared shit out of John.
Yeah.
And then all of a sudden this hen, she started going, and Frank got her going, and then she shut up, but she was coming closer, and then all of a sudden she was right there. And so Frank's left-handed, so he was set up to shoot towards the decoys one way, and I was videoing him. So I videoed him coming in, coming across, and it was a hen, and I think she saw us. And, you know, John, you've got a bunch more insight on this just based on like the equipment, because we're using one of those like 360 blinds or like a 270 blind,
yeah,
which is kind of great in theory. I mean, they're really cool. unless you have like the sun behind you or like any sort of like open sky or anything.
Yeah, you got to have some kind of backdrop that keeps it dark because they can silhouette you through those. That happened same tent, same place, you know, what, 2 years ago when I was down there, had the birds. They can definitely see you moving in there.
So I, and that, I think that was Tuesday because I was off Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday that week. So Tuesday, no, I was off Tuesday, Wednesday, had to work Thursday, and then I was off Friday, or then we left on Friday. So we go, and Frank just can't get a shot, and the hen seen us, and she just kind of scooted over. She didn't go over to the decoys, and then the toms didn't. It was a Tom and a Jake, and the Longbeard, he had no idea. He just followed the hen, and I could have shot him 17. I could have shot at him 17 times. I mean, but I didn't have a arrow on my rest. I had two arrows set over on the side, and but nothing. How, you know, far, no shots. He was, for me, he was like 20. When he got out in front of Frank, he was probably like 26, 28, but it would have been like through some stuff. Hmm. And then the Jake just kind of followed him, and he messed around out there. And like I said, those two birds had no idea that we were there, but the hen, she didn't like it. And Frank had killed a bird over there a few years back that had a broadhead already go through his leg. So we're not the only guys hunting that area anyway. So then we just packed it up, went over to John's, and the next day, well, it's not true. So that day we went to the Bowman's Club and shot our bows. And if you follow along with us, or you shot with us at the Total Archery Challenge, my brother-in-law, Chris, he just shoots all my old stuff. And then he shoots arrows that he picks up along the way, 'cause he doesn't have any arrows. He uses that bow. He shoots it like at the Total Archery Challenge, and then maybe once or twice throughout the season,
like one arrow,
but he doesn't really understand like the sight tape, or, and this is for a lot of you guys that are setting up multi-pin sights, he didn't understand like how a multi-pin sight worked. So
multi-pin slider.
Yeah. Well, yeah. Multi-pin slider. So Chris, of course, he missed a deer just on that same principle. He had a deer out there about 30. The sight was set at 50 or something, wherever it was from the Total Archery Challenge. And he just uses the second pin, and he's like, it must be my 30 yard pin, shot right over it, under it. I don't know what he did, but regardless. So this year was going to be different. So I got a bunch of arrows. The arrows that he had last year, I weighed a bunch of arrows. We figured out like what he could shoot. Got him shooting, explained the sight to him. Went out there, shot. Well, I had 100 arrows that all weighed the same, and I'm just launching these. But I took my quiver off of my bow to do that. And so I was just shooting. And I want to get into that a little bit, just about releases and stuff like that. But got him all set up. And then the next morning I got up and hunted with my friend Bernie. He'd never turkey hunted before. So we went out to John's favorite piece of public, it works out just as John would expect. But I'd gone out there after we went to the Bowman's Club. I ran out. I picked up my daughter. I don't know if she had something. She had Girl Scouts or something. I'm not sure. But I went out there and I scouted, and I see there's two different fields that had birds in them at night. And I didn't have time to roost them, but I kind of had an idea of where they were going. And so one is like really secluded, and one's like super out in the open. So I was like, well, and I talked to Frank about it. I'm like, we'll go back to this super secluded one. I've called birds from back in there. I just never have set up all the way back in there. And we go back there and get set up, and I could have just picked either field. Well, I picked the wrong field. So we walked in like a half a mile or whatever, and there's turkeys gobbling like all around us, but nothing like right. Well, the turkeys were kind of where I thought they were going to be, but they just moved off. And I don't know if they moved over to that other field or they just picked their way through the woods, but we kind of walked and called our way over to that other field, and we could see where there was a bunch of scratch and there was a bunch of poop, and it was where these big, big oak trees were. There's two fields that John and I and Frank had hunted in, and right outside of that, on the edge of this other big field that they tried to put a stalk on a bird on, I think that's where those birds had roosted. And, you know, if you follow the hunting public or like any of the guys that talk about it, like there's water there. This kind of has everything. It's these big ag fields, and it's public. So, and he had a shotgun, so I didn't even bring my bow or anything. I just was the caller. And man, it was super fun. He's one of my buddies, like one of my best friends from the Marines. And it's just fun getting out. I bow hunted with them and stuff like that. It was just a fun, fun day. But so we start working our way over, pop up in that other field. There's four toms out in this field. And, you know, they're way over there. They're like almost exactly where they were at the night before, which is like untenable. And like, there's a lot of distance that we could move through the woods to get over there. So we move through the woods and it's water and nasty, just gross. We pop out, look over there and call a little bit. And, they kind of, I think they were going to breed a hen out there, 'cause they were like chasing each other around. And then when I started calling, they all kind of like pushed back over to this one side. So I'm like, well, that's not really working, I don't think. So we're just going to keep pushing further and further and kind of try to get to that edge. So we moved up another 100, 200 yards. We were probably in the second third of the field. There's probably one more third to go. We popped out right there, and their turkeys were out there on this little ridge. So I started calling. Well, I had him get set up. And when we were getting set up, like there was a hen right there that seen us, and she just kind of took off. But those turkeys didn't pay any mind. They were far enough away. They were, you know, still a couple hundred yards over there. And so I started calling once he got set up, and then they started working over and working over, and then a hen started calling. And so I was just doing exactly what she was doing. And that hen worked over in front of us, and those turkeys kept coming and coming. And I'm like, all right, it's just a matter of time, you know? So I kind of shut up and just let those turkeys go, call again. And he looks at me and he's like, they're coming, you know? So I'm like, all right, give a couple more yelps. Boom, boom, boom. There was somebody set up in that other corner of the field, and I just happened to call them
over to him.
Over to them. And so they never even called,
did they?
No. And we never popped out of the field or anything. We just watched them. So I don't think maybe they probably heard me calling, but like they never saw us. They never even looked our direction or nothing. Like when they left out of the field, they weren't like looking over there. They weren't doing anything.
Did they get the bird?
Oh yeah. It was, I don't know if it was a Jake or whatever. I couldn't see, but they were just set up there. So then I worked on Thursday, and then we flew out on Friday.
My favorite spot.
But I was like, I'm going back there and I'm going to set up exactly where it is. So I'm going to go and I'm going to get set up. I'm going to take the decoys. I'm just going to work. I'm going to walk back in there. I have a good idea of where I need to be. And this is going to be my last hurrah. So no blind, running, gunning with a bow. And so I had some cameras with me for filming my buddy. So I filmed a little bit of it, but my action camera got, like the battery, it must have been on in my backpack. But I brought a power bank, and I was like, oh, it's a big power bank, I'll just set it and I'll just record the whole thing. I had it on loop, but I didn't bring the full like big camera and tripod and all that stuff, because John, how many times have you went out by yourself with no blind on public land with all your camera gear, whether it's bow hunting deer or turkeys or whatever, and then everything went perfect?
Never.
Never. So I was like, well, if this goes well, I'll have it on the action cam. You know, it'll be cool. And I think you guys can tell where the story is going. So I get up super early because this is a spot where.
And you had to stop and get the decoys at my place.
Yeah. Well, that was the thing. This is a spot where it's super high pressured. I'm hunting this field where it's very visible. Like, I'm not the only person that's seen these birds. Those other guys were the only other guys on the property that day, and they killed the bird. So, and that was another thing. Like, I'm going right back to the same spot where they killed. I know a bird was killed. It's not like, you know, did it happen? So I go over in the dark at John's, and not to his house, like to where he's building this house, and the decoys are still out.
One of them
was out. So I'm just running around in the woods looking for the decoys. And he had moved the tent like further back in the woods. So I didn't even know where that was. So I was like over, I'm like in the ditch.
I told you I was going to move it.
So one thing about turkey hunting, and you know, John can chime in here at the end about like how serious of turkey hunting we are, is that I don't ever think about like a headlight or green light or having any sort of light, because I just figure like I don't need it. Like, I'm just going to be, you know, I know we pretty much know where we're going. You think about like when we got right underneath those birds that were roosted there, like we didn't have a light. We went only cell phone, like not even cell phone flashlight, just cell phone screen.
Right? Yeah.
So that, if I were to like redo this story, I would definitely have some sort of a light, because I go over to John's. I don't have a light. Takes me a while to find these decoys, find the tent, find the decoys. Only found one stake, took both the decoys, fly over there, get there. Nobody's there. And I'm like, all right, well, I got to hustle. You know, I feel like it's getting light. It was still like before 6 o'clock, but like the sky is starting to light up, you know. I haven't heard any turkeys or anything. And I go and I just keep walking down this field edge, and I didn't want to get all the way to the corner where those guys were at, because I got exactly where I knew those turkeys wanted to be. Like, there's like a high spot in the field, and then it like crowns over to this edge. And like wherever you're at, like if you were at the driveway of this big field, or if you're in the corner where we approached them from before, like
they're always on the mound.
They're always just over it. So you see them pop up and they do some stuff, but they always go back down into those like shadows. And I think I've heard people talk about like where they want to be, like kind of where it's cool, where there's going to be bugs, like that sort of stuff, but they could still be seen.
You know? They can still be seen, but then they can also hide.
And so back to, well, yeah, we're not even there yet. So I do all this stuff. I get the decoys out. I get them strapped to my backpack. I'm looking around in the thing. I see my quiver from the Bowman's Club with all these arrows that don't have it. They're just field point arrows. Pull my bow out of the case, and then I'm looking around in the back of the Jeep, and there's no frickin'
When quiver. You say your quiver, this is like your target quiver.
So my quiver from the Bowman's Club, which had 50 different arrows in it.
Right.
And then my hunting quiver that had my arrows with the broadheads on it was nowhere to be found.
Right.
And I'm like, did I take it out and put it in the garage? Like, whatever. I'm like, fuck.
You got to clarify that. Because that's more like, when you first told me, like, you had the quiver. No, it was your
hip quiver.
Your hip quiver.
So
your target quiver, and then you have your detachable bow quiver.
Yeah. So I'm like, oh my God. So I look around in the Jeep, move all the stuff around, you know, took my backpack out, did all my stuff. I didn't take everything out of the Jeep, but it was getting light. And I felt like I needed to hustle. So I'm a problem solver, and I have one broadhead in a box in my, cause I'm like, well, what am I going to do? Go home. I never make it back. I mean, I got to pack up my bags and all my stuff to leave. So I'm like, well, I mean, I went like, I feel like Ernie, you know, when he tells the story about the first deer he ever killed, where he just had a bow in one hand and three arrows in the other. Well, I only had two arrows in the other. And one of the arrows was a bear shaft that I had to use to stake up one of the decoys, because that was what was in my bow case. So I screw this broadhead on there, and I'm thinking, well, this is either going to be like a regular turkey hunting day that you don't see anything, or they never got close enough, or like you mess it up, or it's going to be epic, right? But like, I've never like really needed more than one arrow. I mean, I guess last year I did, but I was like, that wasn't even there, you know, because that was like preset, scouted, blind, whole works. So I go run down this field edge, get set up, and like John alluded to, like we set the decoys up like 5 to 7 yards in front of us. And I don't think they were that far away from me.
5 to 7 steps.
So there was this opening with this tree in there. So I'm like, all right, well, I can get back in there. I think I can shoot. I broke some little branches down or whatever. So I had a nice, like one little, you know, 3 foot thing to shoot through. But otherwise I couldn't even shoot to the decoys. I put the decoys back more towards the truck right on that edge, because I knew these turkeys weren't like going to sneak up on me from the truck.
Right.
And I knew like which way they'd be coming from. And I had a crick to my back. So I was like, I'm fairly certain they're not going to like just come barreling through the crick, right, you know, behind me. So there's only one way they could come. So I was like, well, I'm going to be able to see them. And man, I sat there for probably a half hour, 45 minutes and like nothing. You know, I gave a couple like soft yelps and it was nothing, like dead silent. And it was light, like it was really light. And I was like, man, this is gonna, like, well, it's not a big deal. I only got one arrow, right? And then all of a sudden, like birds just started gobbling everywhere. And you would think after, you know, a turkey was killed like exactly where I was at, this is the most hunted piece of property in the county. It's not anybody that knows that it's not like public, that it's not big. It's not a secret to anybody.
No. Not just hunters. Like there's all kinds of people like go there to walk their dogs and shit. That's what happened to me the last time I turkey hunted. I was like, you know what? Screw this. But so a lot of people.
But these turkeys were gobbling everywhere. And I mean, if I heard 10 gobbles, I heard 1,000. There, I mean, and it wasn't like just these birds or anything like that. And that kind of goes into like, after like that bird got killed in front of me and Bernie, we just like worked our way back to the car, went in, and there's a spot. If you go back to the podcast that we talked about when last year, when I called in the bird, or we like walked in on those birds, and Eric missed the one because the choke malfunctioned or whatever. We were going back towards that spot, and right where we had kicked some birds off, like we didn't even, I told Bernie, I was like, we need to be quiet right here, because like we need to just kind of like sneak and peek our way up here. Dude, we didn't even get halfway down that little tunnel. Oh, bird gobbled right there. This is, I mean, a bird was just killed over here. Like there was a guy target practicing, like just sitting there with a folding table, like just shooting into the berm. Yeah. And these birds are gobbling, and that bird, we did the circle. Like we'd go this way and he'd gobble over here. And then we'd circle back around and he'd gobble over there. And I'm like, well, like this is pointless. Like, I don't know where he's at, because there wasn't any like fields. It was just, he was just in the woods, you know? And I wasn't like, we didn't have a whole bunch of time. Like there was a turkey there, but I was confident that there'd be turkeys where we were at too. I didn't hear any more gobbles, what we called in a hen over there. I mean, and we called in a hen to like, would have been it at our decoys. Like it was probably like 6 feet from where we were sitting, just out in the wide open, just sitting there. And that like running and gunning, like with a shotgun, is really kind of something that I miss. Like not the fact, but just like not having to set up to like have to draw or whatever.
Right.
Like,
just getting hunkered into a tree.
Yep.
Getting laid down with the ticks. And, you
know. Well, but I just think like I think we overthink it a lot with a bow. I think that we are like, oh, we have to be right here. We have to do this. And I think when we used to gun hunt, we counted more on like the calling and the setup and like being in the right spot, where with a bow, like, I feel like you have to be like, everything has to be perfect. You know, I mean, what do you think?
Yeah. That's true though. I mean, what the gun, you're not trying to draw back or anything. You're just basically, if you're laying up against a stump or a tree and, you know, you're down low, just get hunkered in and freaking have your guy calling, you know, 10 feet behind you. And yeah, but with a bow, like, oh, we did it up north. You know, I mean, you got drawn back on a couple.
Just one. Well, no, remember I drew back on the second one and that's when I got busted. Yeah. Because you're like, they're too far.
Yeah, they were, those are way far. But yeah, I mean, you shot at the one. That was when I lost the glove. But so back to your, yes, I do kind of miss that because it's just like running, and we don't really do that much with the bow anymore. Well, I haven't really got to hunt much, but it's just been, I see a bird cross the road, I run out back and get in the blind.
Yeah, I was like totally like reinvigorated. I was like, man, this is so much more fun. And I mean, I used to do it out there, never successfully, obviously. But I crawled around with my bow so much. And, you know, lots of times where I got set up where I could have shot him with a gun. But it just different. But anyway, so these birds sounded like there was a couple that were pretty close. And I didn't realize there was another field behind me. So these birds were gobbling like what John was saying, like if I was facing basically southeast, these birds were northwest of me. It actually is vice versa. I was facing southwest and these were northeast of me. But so there was a hen like 400 yards out in front of me, just picking her way through. I'd call. She never really picked up her head. And then like, it's like there's a little bit of like the elk hunting thing, like scenario where
you think you're
hearing bugles, you think you're hearing gobbles, like you think you're hearing all this phantom stuff. And these birds were just freaking right there. So there was none of that, but there's sandhill cranes and there's geese and then there's every single Tweety bird like known to man. They're so loud.
Oh, it's louder than hell out there.
And so I got back up in the woods and I popped over and I actually crossed the ditch and I got out into that field and I started calling. And those birds like immediately hammered, like bam. And I couldn't tell if it was one bird or, you know, but it was like, they were on top of it. And in hindsight, they were like double goblin, but I think it was like both Jakes. Like there's three Jakes that ended up coming in. And if you are a fan of the meat eater, these were the super Jakes. These were the like 4 or 5 inch, like straight up beards.
Right.
You know, but, anyway, so I was like, oh, shit. So I hopped back over the creek, and I called, and I used the mouth call. Like, that's what they were, like, getting off on, this, like, raspy hen that T.J. Miller sent us. Or T.J. Jordan, rather. T.J. Miller's the actor. T.J. Jordan, he made those calls, and I just, you know, was doing some hard cutting in those birds. Like, once I crossed there, and I hit the call, they were closer. And I was like, oh, okay. Well, something's happened. So got my bow. I gave like a little purr and then a couple of clucks and they gobbled again. And so I was like, okay, grab my release, grab my bow, got set up, looked up, and those right up from that corner, here comes three red heads. So I was like, oh shit. So I reached down and I turned on the camera because it had died and it turned on. So I was like, okay, well, hopefully it charged up a little bit and it got like 4 seconds. But anyways, here comes these birds and they just come running, like legit running in. So I didn't have to worry about it. There was a tree like off to my right. So I just pulled up, drew back, and again, like old quick straw McGraw here who doesn't ever get to full draw and then lets his bow not go. You know, I anchored in, I settled in, I leveled my bubble and I just held it there and I seen him coming and I had all three of them in the scope housing at one time. And then the first one, I put my top pin like right underneath his beard, like a frontal shot. I shot and it was just feathers and flying. And then he's just standing over there and he's like kind of like looking around and he's like doing the shoulder thing, you know, and he flaps his wings and I'm like, oh man, he's going to fall over. Like he's totally going to fall over. And then he just like walks over. He's kind of like John was talking about, like the pimp strut, you know, and then he walks out there and I'm like, what the fuck? That was my one arrow. That's the only arrow that I had. And the other turkeys, the other two are over just packing at my decoy. And like those turkeys came in, like I was joking around with Bernie, like that other turkey, like there was four in the field. Now three come running in. I felt like they were like, Reggie, where you been, man? Yeah. Like what's the deal? Like we thought they got you.
You're back.
So they're over there. And then he's off to the side and he's like 30 yards away now. And I get my phone out and I take a little video of him.
I'm like, was he like laying down?
No. Shit? Well, that hen laid down right in front of us with me and Bernie the other day. I'd never seen that before in my life. But no, it looked like he was like laying down. And I was like, man, he's going to die like right there. And then he was like flapping his wings. And then he's just like kind of like walking around.
He shot his dick off is what happened.
Well, as we transition to the Total Archery Challenge talk, there is a thing that was 12 of them or dick 'em. And this was not a 12. This was not a 12. So they got out there and they started working back like where they were going to go. So I guess in that situation, John, what do you do?
At that point, with one arrow?
You're no arrow.
No arrow? Same thing I told you before. Run the fuckers down.
Well, so when they were all looking away from me at about 30 yards, I just came out of there like Sasquatch, like 100 miles.
Oh, shit.
And that turkey was fine. They all flew, and then they landed, and then they ran. And there wasn't one behind another one. There was nothing. And
he was just missing his penis. It was laying there next to your arrow, wasn't it?
So I went over there, and there's a ton of feathers, and my arrow is completely clean.
It must like, be a Bud Light drink.
There's no slime. There's no sludge. There's no, you know, if you shoot through an animal.
Right, unless you shot him in, like, the legs. There's not a whole lot there. It wouldn't even left a mark.
But there would have been a blood or something. Like, I don't know.
Maybe. Like,
but in the broadhead or something. Like the broadhead, it's completely clean. It's an inch and a half sever. Like yeah. There would have been some sort of something.
Well, you hit them. Like, obviously, you got feathers. So
there was like one little like drizzle. And when I say that, I mean, if you were to take like, I don't know, like,
you cut yourself shaving?
If you like had some super glue or something, like just a little, like not even like, and then there was one other feather that had like a spot, like a pinhead size spot of blood on it. And that was it in this entire green field. And so what I honestly believe is that I shot through his feathers, like underneath. And I think the tit on the broadhead that opens it up, like got him in the leg.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. Like, if you nicked his, you know how hard their legs are, and there's not a whole lot of anything to them.
But, so that brings me to this question that I've, like, all of my struggles, bow hunting turkeys, right?
Mm-hmm.
Is it just finally, like, unethical for me to hunt turkeys with a bow?
Nah.
I mean,
turkeys.
Well, but they're still a living creature, you know. I mean,
well, he was fine.
We have a lot.
So that's where that's
we that, have a lot less respect for turkeys than we do for deer. I mean, and that's true, but it doesn't mean that that's right.
No, exactly. That's why. So, like, what 2 years ago when I was like, I'll shoot a Jake. I didn't even bring, like, I'm going to shoot him in the head with a normal arrow. Like, so if I get him, I get him. If I don't, it's going to be a clean miss, you know.
But I wasn't even in, like, because that's, I mean, you remember talking to Doc and he was talking about hunting turkeys with a bow and he's like, you just need to shoot him in the head because their vitals really aren't that much different size
right.
than their head. Now, granted, if you get a broadhead that opens up or whatever, but I mean, I think that's.
But you shot that one in the wing, whatever. Like we never found it. I've shot like birds, you know, shot at one 3 times. I think I hit them twice. Like neither one of them were lethal. That was one of the original pimp stroll. Like you know, there is one on our. Local Facebook thing it was a hen and it looked like a crossbow bolt to me almost, but she's walking around with a freaking arrow sticking out of her and you know the lady's like, oh my god, what do we do with the bird? Like,
and the DNR nothing. Didn't care.
No,
they were like,
it's not a danger.
Just
which you would think they might do something since it was a hen, because you obviously you can't shoot hens in the spring season. But maybe someone shot it because it wouldn't get off their porch. I don't know. Tell the lady quit feeding them in their backyard and it wouldn't have that problem.
Yeah. Hasn't she ever heard of CWD? CWT? but no, I mean, it's one of those things like, it's the duality of bow hunting. It's like why I love bow hunting. It's because everything can go right. And then inevitably, it's not successful.
Shit.
But like, I don't know. I feel pretty validated in like that was able to happen, just in the fact of like the turkey hunting side of it, right? Like that's pretty cool. But
yeah,
but that only happens. If I only have one arrow, because if I would have had my quiver and 10 cameras, no turkeys would come in. I would have seen 7 guys. I would have seen a clown. I would have had like a glider pilot land in that field. Like it is ultralight, you know,
right.
Just because of like everything that's ever happened, like on that property. And or turkey. I mean, I had a guy shoot at that bird out in front of me when I was gun hunting, all set up, you know, and
decoys out and everything.
Yeah. And now I called in one for some other guy. And
thanks.
You
thanks,
know.
Adam.
So if you're listening, let us know
next time you're out.
So if you're listening and you heard this amazing hen back there in the woods behind you, you couldn't believe that it drew these turkeys in for you. Yeah, that was me. But I don't know. I mean, but it was so fun. Like, and the bird, and here's the pitch of it too, is those birds were still gobbling. There's birds gobbling everywhere. And I'm like, I'm out of fucking bullets. Oh, I didn't even get back. So I'm like, all right, it's over. Like, I'm done hunting. Like, it's not my day. I gather up my stuff. I go back to the truck. I put my bow in there. I unscrew the broadhead, put it in the thing. I'm out of arrows. You know, I just kick myself, right? Putting everything in there, shuffling around. I move my bow case, and my bow case is on my freaking broadhead quiver. So
my arrows
I would have needed were there the whole time. So the moral of the story is don't be like me, but also...
Have a light.
But
be a little more prepared.
But so I got the next 2 days off. So I think I'm going to hunt I think I'm going to hunt Wednesday. I'm not sure where I'm going to go. I mean, this is a killer setup. I mean, I'd have to go tomorrow and see if the birds are still out there. But I mean, but I've got another spot set up where for Memorial Weekend, I think I can take my daughter out there and we can have opportunity out when we set up a blind and
need
kill
to get,
one.
Need to get this done because I need to get my bow set up for tack.
Well, you just need to shoot one. You can shoot one from an elevated position. Just sit on your roof, have your bow up there in your
I've seen them the one day coming back through.
It's what, 111? You got a tape?
Yeah. We'll see if my bow is still set up for the 75-yard pin or for 75-pound limbs, but like right now it's turned down. I got the 60-pound mods in it and it's turned down like 3 cranks or it's probably about 52 to 54. I haven't measured it for them Magnus heads.
So I think those arrows, those zinger arrows that I got, I think they're right. They're all within, like.
I didn't have to cut mine down. They're like plenty long enough. And that's what I have that turkey head on. They shot good out of it. But that was with the turkey turbine. But I did have to index it because those zinger arrows were short enough where if I didn't have it indexed right, it would hit my sight. So it is close to my finger. Like if I had my finger out, it might, cut the tip off. God.
No, thank you. But yeah, I think my arrows like completely set up on those, the ones that are the quicker arrows, the ones that are a little bit lighter, is like 462. And I think that's all the same as the rest of my arrows. So I got my tape set and got everything squared away for that. And if you heard me talk about shooting at the Wisconsin thing, like I was shooting the hinge like like an idiot. Like it was like 100% target panic. And then that translated. And then I got home and I lost one of those arrows, out there in the backyard somewhere. Cause I just yanked it. And so I was like, you know what? I'm done. I went up to 10 yards and on those big shot targets, they've got like a couple of different 11s and then the 14. And I was just shooting at those little tiny spots and just waiting. And I changed that hinge. So it rotates like the head rotates so far. Like I got to pull it back so far. And, I shot probably 50 arrows like that. I don't know. And like now I get like what you're seeing, like what Ernie says he sees, like where you see the whole thing and you're just holding there and waiting. Like I've never had that in my lifetime. And so now like getting out there, like when I went and shot with Chris, like my first shot at like 80 was like freaking like dead nuts. Now it's like, okay. The frustrating thing though is I think, and like, how do you deal with this? Like when you have to rotate so far, like keeping your form, like I don't mean the form as much as like where my anchor point is. Right. That's the hard part.
That's why I don't like having to, cause that's what would happen with that too smooth, the black one. After that adjustment, like screwed up, there was times where I'm like rotate, rotate, rotate. And then all of a sudden, yeah, now my anchor point. So then I start thinking about that and that's the wrong, like I'm got to just be rotating and having it go off. So, yeah, I adjust mine. So I get to my click and then it rotates, but it's not to the point where it's so far back, like what you're doing.
Yeah. But
I think you just need to keep shooting it, shooting it, shooting it. And then once you get comfortable with that, then you can do the adjustment. Like you can only do so many things at one point, like that night we built the bows, you're like adjusting it and doing this. Well, let's get rid of the click, or let's do like add the click, but then give it some more. Just like working on a bow, you should only do one thing at a time. Like, cause you don't know what's working for you.
Hmm. But yeah, that bow, I mean, it's shooting really well.
Like, I need to double check it. You know, like we need to put it back on there and check the timing. I mean, you've shot it enough now where the strings are settled in.
Yeah.
Especially before we go up to tack.
Yeah.
So I'm not sure. I put that on the draw board. Did I check the timing before we finished up on that one? I know we had to do it on the other one.
I'm not sure. I don't think you like finished it up, because I think you're like, it's going to stretch, so it doesn't matter. He's like, you just got to shoot it.
Yeah.
But yeah, so we're going to be up there Thursday through Sunday. We're going to do the cookout on Saturday. We'll get more details on that, because I think we got some harebrained ideas for that. So we got a couple of different options, but we're going to do pulled pork. TJ, he told me he did make all those brats. So we've got like, I think he said like 16 or 18 pounds of venison brats.
Are we bringing a Traeger?
I don't think so. I think we're going to get everything like...
Well, we're going to cook the brat.
Yeah, we're going to have to make sure that we've got a grill.
Well, because Eddie lives literally right.
Okay.
He's got the same Traeger I do.
Okay.
And so, we could even cook him there or something.
Okay.
Go pick him up, because he's right down by the Iron Fish.
Yeah. So, we got 16, 18 pounds of venison brat, some like regular ones, some jalapeno ones. Going to be good. TJ Merritt. Great. Great dude. Look for the guy with the Fred Bear tattoo on his leg. And then ask my cousin Chris, or John's cousin Chris about that. But anyways, I was going to tell you about I don't know if I even told you about this. We were shooting you had to shoot the Sasquatch. It was like 70 yards. And if you hit in the thing, like the closer you got to the dot, you got more raffle tickets. And, there's this guy who's like a serious 3D shooter. Brent knows him. He shot against him, like really good shot, you know. And because I couldn't shoot worth shit, right? I'm just up there. I was like, you know, I'm gonna give you guys a lesson in target panic. Send an arrow like into the into the road. I hit on most of the rest of them, I think. But anyway. So I'm out there just making jokes, you know, whatever. And this dude, he's shooting a hinge, and he shoots. And I go, Brent, hey, Brent. I said, he's your buddy, right? I said, you need to talk to him. He's got something going on with his bow. Right before it goes off, every time there's like a click. He was like dead. And so his buddy... you know, gets done shooting. And I was like, hey, man, you got like a click in your bow or something. You know, every time, right? And he looks at me and he's like trying to explain to me about the release. And I was like, I'm just fucking with you, man.
Oh, shit.
What a guy. But it was like so quiet, you know. I was like, oh, man, and he's shooting. I was like, hey.
So that was your bow, wasn't it? That when I did the string, like your cable guard just like slid right out.
The rod, yeah. Still has some big giant like stainless steel.
Oh, that's right. It was completely missing. The set screw. That's right.
Yeah. Well,
that'll remind you like, hey, I need to check that.
Yeah. Well, like, I don't know. I talked to kind of everybody about like me and gear, and it's like I'm not the meticulous, like I'm not wiping it down, I'm not spraying it with oil, I'm gonna use it. And I feel like I'm closer to the average end user than, I mean, I'm further on the spectrum of like maybe understanding more about it and like using it. Like I don't just shoot my bow 10 minutes before I go hunting or whatever. Right. But at the same time, it's like, it doesn't have to be pretty. It doesn't have to, it just has to work. That's all.
Right.
And I don't know. I mean, I look at my when we
I were left mine out in the tent for 4 days straight.
I know.
Anyone knows where that's at? I mean, they're like, oh, hey, it's a freaking Matthews sitting out here.
But that's what you're shooting? You still got that Matthews?
Yeah.
V3X.
Deep V3X. I'm not.
What are you shooting for the sight on there?
I still have my Excel bracket with the UltraView.
Oh, okay. Yeah, Frank.
The 3 or whatever, Hunter.
So,
small scope.
When Chris and I were out there shooting at the Bowman's Club, Frank got a, he put that Excel sight back on there. Did he tell you that?
Excel or the Apex, you mean?
Apex, yeah. And he was shooting them like 7 feet right, like missing the bales. And,
yeah.
Oh, I don't know what happened there. Like, I'm like, dude, like, I ordered him one of these red line sights, the RL2, I think. Because he's like, well, you know, I'm just going to make something work. I'm like, what are you going to make work? Like, you're going to bust a whole bunch of arrows and be pissed.
Right.
You know, you got your eyes fixed. You got your hand fixed. You got, like, everything fixed. And you're going to just
throw something on.
Yeah. And I'm like, it's like $140 for a multi-pin adjustable sight. He's putting it on. He's going to shoot the Heli-M.
Right. That's why I'm like, why don't you just shoot your Bowtech? I don't want to mess.
You don't want to mess it up.
I'm like, I think you might know a guy that works on bows that could probably.
Yeah. Well, but he doesn't want to put in the time to. He's in his old age moving more towards. My bow's fine. I don't want.
Don't fuck with it.
I'll shoot it right before I go to Colorado. And. But
the thing is, he should be shooting that. That's the whole thing. Like, this is all about going out west. Like, you should have your bow set up to shoot that and don't change it then.
Because, well, you know, realistically, what's going to happen? Because he's got that Montana Black Gold or whatever on there. It's fixed, this non-movable 4-pin sight or something. So what's going to happen is he's going to get out west. He's going to shoot something just like I did. He's gonna shoot something in the dick, or he's gonna shoot and miss something. It's gonna run out there at 60 and it's gonna stand there for 45 minutes and he's gonna give it the old that'll do,
right?
Because he's Frank, and where he's gonna have a bow at home that he's gonna be capable, because he wants that bow's 52 pounds. He's gonna give it another full turn, I think, and try and get
60 ish.
Mm-hmm. But he better get on it. But that site just, we just got back and that site just came in. So we got that set up. And I was, so this is essentially the same site. I got one right here. And because of the way that this mounts, we can put this housing on there, right? And just flip it over. It's just a dovetail.
This scope, you mean?
Yeah.
Well, you could.
Well, my reasoning is, and I guess you can take the level off of it, but he's going to be able to get enough. He can put that all the way down to the bottom.
What's the other one have?
It's the exact same as that. It's just left-handed.
Oh, well, why would you want to take this one off?
Because you can only go down that far.
Well, that's
right above the level. But if you flipped it over, you could go all the way to the bottom.
Yeah, well, I mean, we could just change. We need to just screw this peep sight a little bit.
Well,
because that's the other thing too, is he's setting his peep sight for like 20, like we talked before. Like, center your peep sight at 50. Especially if it's that Heli-M. He's not going to shoot it for anything else. Well, let's make it so we can shoot long distance. Like, let's see if it helps.
So he's still got to set up his bow. I'm confident in mine. Maybe not. Like, I was getting some kicks. I was watching the arrows, getting some weird flight.
Yeah, we need to just go back through it.
But Chris is going to be set up. I got no worries about Ernie. And the rest of the Yahoos, I think Jack's still buying arrows. Chris, I think, has his arrows. Greg's been shooting. So Jake's just got his bow set up to 85, like maybe like a 6/8 inch group. So it's going to be fun.
Was that Jake that was sent? I just see the numbers come across. I don't have his name in my.
Yeah. Yep. And then, Chris, if you see us out there at Total Archer Challenge, John's ordering the,
I gotta get that ordered.
The each hole trophy. And then there's also a shooter trophy. So you're going to have to ask us about that sort of stuff. But, yeah, looking forward to that. A little bit more info to come as far as like where the cookout's going to be, but it's going to be Saturday. And I don't know what else you got, John. Oh my gosh,
$9.99 Spencer's.
Yeah, don't show that off just yet. We're going to let you wear it on the first hole.
All right,
up the chairlift.
we need to have some kind of shooting game before we leave
to see
who
on the practice range.
Yeah. Something like, all right.
So what else you got? You got to work on before then, John.
Well, I got to get my house roofed. Once I get my house roofed, then I can like just kind of chill a little bit. Cause I got all these other projects. I'm supposed to go up and help Ed back up there, which is right by Crystal Mountain.
We need to do a drive by of where our house is and kind of like get a lay of the land.
All right. Well, I could have just done that while I was there Wednesday, yep. Thursday, Friday.
But yeah, I'm excited this year. I mean, for us, it keeps getting bigger and bigger. We had 8 people in the house last year. I think we got 10 this year. Eric's coming from New York. Greg's coming from New Jersey.
It's funny. The other day, we were doing this deck job and so we had to run into Menards and there's the guy, I don't know if he's the sales manager or whatever at the pro desk. And I was wearing a tack shirt and he's like, you go to that? I'm like, yeah, every year. This is going to be my first year, you know? And he's like, I'm coming up and shooting Sunday. And I'm like, oh, I said, well, you know, we'll be around shooting. I said, too bad you weren't there all weekend. Like, we usually throw a pretty good party.
We can't say that the house that we're staying in says no parties.
Oh, okay. No party at our
house. We're having a gathering in the driveway.
Yeah.
Or maybe not.
Or maybe not. Maybe it'll be a parking lot party.
Might be a tailgate. Who knows?
Yeah.
But
it'll be like a pop-up Instagram, like everyone.
Yeah. Well,
flash mob.
Yeah. Check. Yeah, that's how we get down. But I don't know. I'm excited about it. I still got another. I think maybe this might be the last weekend for turkey hunting. I've got to look at that. But
yeah, it's definitely.
But I like I said, I other than getting Stella out there, it's going to be really difficult to like top what I've already done.
You know? I haven't really felt like I've.
Gave it a fair shake.
Turkey hunted. Like when you're going and you're in your work clothes, you know.
Well, I've seen so many pictures on, or like videos and stuff on Instagram of guys like, because as it gets hotter and sitting in them tents, you know, and I can imagine that's like antelope hunting. You know, you're so hot just sitting there in the tent. The guys are in like shorts and flip flops and stuff like that. And
yeah.
Like I said, like running with that shotgun. You know, like guiding my buddy, that like got me like really back and like jacked up about it. Cause I felt like there was nowhere that I couldn't go.
Right. You know?
And like, he'd never killed a turkey before. I mean, we were scrutinizing that hen. Like, it's a good thing she came that close. Cause you'd have been like, definitely it's got a beard.
She's got a beard. Got a beard. Got a beard. Nope.
Oh man. It was fun. Like definitely, it's definitely been a lot of fun. So,
yeah, I doubt I'm going to make it out.
Come on, John.
Maybe if one comes wandering through the yard.
What are you going to do? What do you got to do? Sleep?
Yeah.
Sleep is overrated.
I haven't been doing that much lately.
So you just need to get up earlier. You're not sleeping anyways. Go sit in the dark for a couple hours. Then go about your day.
Yeah.
The commute doesn't change. No. It's the same.
Yeah, but like I said, I think I've screwed with them enough where they're not, they've changed up
then
at my house.
Then move.
So, yeah, but where to?
That tent set up over at Mark's.
Still getting pictures of birds? Or?
I didn't get any pictures of birds that day. But
that's what's weird, too. Like, so my camera set up, or the two that I got from you are set up. I get every car that drives down the road, I get three pictures of it. It's like, do-do-do-do, and I'm like, I know the day that, like, those turkeys walked right down the driveway, right? And so I'm like, I go through and I find them, and I set the camera off in the truck, because then we're, like, pulling up, and then you can see the birds in front of us. Then I'm, like, flipping through, and all of a sudden, and I'm like, I know that I see birds. The tracks are all right down the driveway. They got to be setting off these cameras. Nope. Like, the only time, all of a sudden I'm, like, scrolling through, and I'm like, what's that? Oh, turkeys, but the car set it off, because they're already standing right full strut, right in front of the camera.
Well, I noticed that, too, and it looks like they're way up. Must be you need to either be pointed down, or they're just moving so slow that they don't set it off.
Yeah, I don't, and I obviously have it set sensitive, because it's off the road, and it picks every car that goes by. But, and then the other one's pointing right at the Porta John.
It's kind of weird. Yeah, Creeper John. Weird,
yeah. What's funny is, like, most, like, even I do it. Like, you get there and I got to piss. I don't go in the Porta John. I just stand next to it and piss. Well, like, there's all kinds of freaking dicks on the camera. Look at this guy. He gets out and pisses next to the Porta John.
What an idiot. But, yeah, I mean, that's kind of everything I wanted to talk about a little bit, so.
Yeah.
Yeah. All right, well.
It's good to take kind of a break. I was late because I had to get some dirt moved because the well guy needs to get to the spot where we're going to drill it.
Yeah. So the reason you got John, because it's just me and John. John would be like, well, I couldn't make it. Like, but no, man, like I got you're a busy dude, but
yeah,
it's all part of the fun. So, I'm sure you'll be on here before then, but we're rapidly coming. Was it like 3 weeks till TAC?
Yeah.
So
get some shit done.
Yeah. You need to get working. So
I do have a half dozen arrows on the, like, some regular, axis arrows. I gotta see how they all fly. I mean, they fly great with those bullheads at 10 yards, but.
Yeah, I think it'll be fine. But.
But.
All right, man. So, well, that's kind of all we got for today. So.
All right.
Thanks for listening.
See ya.